Thank you, Chris. Good evening. If you take your Bible, please, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we will look at the text again that our theme for the year comes from. A passion for Jesus Christ. It's in reference to a deep love for Christ. While you turn into Philippians, when I looked at passion in the scriptures, Acts chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that Christ's passion for us caused him to go to the cross for us. And yet, when it comes to our passion for him, which is what our theme is, a passion for Christ, perhaps some of us are at a loss as to initially how to act towards fleshing this theme out. What does a passion for Christ look like? What should I do differently? What must I change in order to truly have a passion for Christ? And yet we have passions that drive us to do all sorts of various things in our everyday life. Passions for other things. And so perhaps by looking at what we do for those passions, we might realize where we're not extending ourselves in the same way towards the things of God and towards Christ that we might towards those things. Many of those things are not godliness. They're not spiritual also. Many Australians at this time of year have a passion for tennis that isn't there at any other time, and for some reason people suddenly become followers of tennis. We, for many of us, have a particular hobby, and some of us are passionate towards those. If somebody asks us about it, we could talk for a while on that subject. You might be passionate for reading, passionate for a particular person, if your heart flutters in that particular direction perhaps, passionate for a particular pastime. And if we think about how we might extend ourselves towards those, some that are time poor but can afford it might extend themselves to splash out towards something that's on sale that isn't necessarily needed just yet, or maybe they're not the finances aren't there to splash out towards postage, but we are time rich and we'll extend ourselves and travel across town to pick up a particular bargain, and yet we won't extend ourselves for the things of God. And so we're demonstrating a passion, but not necessarily, well, in those examples at least, not for Christ. And so we extend ourselves for someone or for something that we are passionate about. But for me to live is Christ. Here in Philippians chapter 1, I just want to read the first two verses, and then we'll jump down to verse 21 as well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now down to verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. 18 times in this chapter, Christ is referred to by title, either Christ or Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. 18 times he's referred to. Of those 18 references, 15 of those are unique. not unique to the, as in they're not covered elsewhere in the Bible, but as in some of them double up, but there's 15 different ones just in this one chapter. And if we're to have a passion for anything, it's always for something that we know of or we're learning about. And so I thought this evening perhaps we will look at some of, not all 15, let alone all 18 of these references, but we might look at some of these references to Christ, and there's things there that we can learn or remind ourselves about, some things that we have only because of Christ. And because of those things that we have because of Him, perhaps that can reignite some passion towards our Saviour that ought to be there and perhaps isn't as much as other things we are passionate about. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you take your word this evening and use it in our lives. Father, I pray that you challenge us with this theme and stretch us with this theme this year. Lord, that we would truly be children of yours that are well pleasing to you, and Lord, that truly demonstrate through the way we live our lives that we are passionate about the Lord. We pray that you'd bless as we look at these verses now, Lord, and particularly give us an understanding of how to act out this theme and these truths that we'll see this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here in Philippians chapter 1, what we see in verse 1, firstly, jumping straight in, are two things that we are in Christ. They are our identity. Because of what Christ has done for us, if we are a child of Christ's, we are these things. And the first one we see is servants in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. If I am to have a passion for Jesus Christ, I need to understand, what does it mean? What am I in Christ? And one of the things that I am in Christ is I am a servant of Christ. What does that mean? What does it look like? We are servants of Christ if we are saved. It's what you are. It is your identity. It's not I should be a servant. No, if we are in Christ, we are the servants of Jesus Christ. A servant who has a good master will do anything for that good master. But will you? Will I? Do we, as children of God, yes, we have a good master, but will we do anything for that good master? In the secular sense, we would do anything for a boss that is looking after us, an employer who has our back and wants what's best for us, not just what's best for the company. We will extend ourselves for somebody that will watch out for us in the workforce. And in the spiritual realm, God and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, undoubtedly are good masters. We are described in this passage and many passages as servants. We have a good master. But do we extend ourselves? Are we willing to do anything for our master? When you have a passion for something, we would do anything for what that passion is towards. We'll go out of our way to do whatever we need to for that passion. But do we extend ourselves to minister to God and to for God to His people in the same way that we might extend ourselves towards a particular team that we support, a particular hobby that we're interested in, a particular skill that we're trying to develop, particular knowledge or skill we're trying to develop within ourselves. In the same way that we would extend ourselves for that, would we extend ourselves in the same way for God to minister to God's people? And you and I need to change what is lacking if we're to have a passion for Christ, if indeed, yes, we are servants, but we are not willing to do whatever God would have us to do and minister to God's people in any way that God would ask of us to. And if we can't say, yeah, I would be willing to, but I am a Christian, the question should be asked, then are we having wrong thoughts about our master? Because if we have a good master, we're willing to do anything we ought to for that master. But if I'm not willing to do anything for the Lord, either am I not a servant of his, I'm not saved, am I not yet a Christian, or if I am a Christian, perhaps it's because I'm having wrong thoughts about my master. And in fact, I don't think the God of the Bible is a good master for me. Though we understand that he is for others in general, but perhaps for some reason we've got into a cycle in our thinking where we're starting to question God's goodness. Because if we truly are servants of Christ, we would be willing to do anything. So we need to ask ourselves, firstly, as it tells us here, we are servants of Jesus Christ. That's our identity. Are we willing to do anything that God asks us to do? Secondly, in this verse, it also says, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. What we are is we're servants, firstly, and what we are, secondly, is we're saints. This is the only other thing in this chapter that I can see that linked to Christ, that we are because of Christ. It is also our identity. We are servants and we are saints, not because of us, but because of what Christ has done in us already. We are servants and we are saints. In every other letter to the churches in the Scriptures, Romans through to Colossians, every one of those letters to the churches other than Galatians, it's addressed to the saints at Romans, both Corinthians, not Galatians, but Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the saints at those churches. Why? Because the letter was written to the people in those churches. And if you are a Christian, you are a saint. Saints aren't holy people with halos around their heads who've spiritually performed some unlikely miracle. That is not what a saint is. A saint, according to the Scriptures, is just a Christian. Saint literally means holy or awful in the sense of full of awe. It's what we call the Holy Spirit, actually. It's the same word. Holy is, or could be, full of awe spirit. Bit more of a mouthful, and so I'm glad we don't call the Holy Spirit the full of awe spirit. But what we are is saints. Saints refers to a holiness about them. Or there's some sort of awe in when it comes to looking at God, not ourselves. And I know that you are far from holy, Christians, because I spend time with you. And you know from spending time with me that I am awful in the other sense of the word. But that's from spending time together. We know that we are not holy, and yet our identity before God is that we are saints. It's not speaking of now in the literal how we live our lives from moment to moment, holiness. It's talking of you've already been made holy in God's eyes, in Christ. we are saints. Not in us. In us, we are still sinners who are saved by grace, by the grace of God. It's what God is doing in us that is changing us to make us more and more, day by day, more like, hopefully, what God already sees us as holy. You and I should strive to get closer to that reality too. And yet, even if we didn't get any holier than we are now, in Christ Jesus, that is already our identity. We can be passionate about Him because of what He's made us. We can be passionate for Jesus Christ because in Him He has made us already servants. He has made us already saints. We can be passionate for Him because what He's done for us and what He's doing in us to change us and make us more like that reality that's already there. Thirdly, in verse 2, it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So, thirdly, there's grace and peace from Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse is telling us. So, firstly, what we are is servants and what we are is saints. But now we come to a couple of things that we gain because of Christ. They're not our identity, but because of Christ working in us, we gain these. And the first of those, which is our third point, is serenity. So what we are is servants, what we are is saints, and what we gain is serenity here in verse 2. Grace and peace. We gain those in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2 tells us. You should be passionate about Christ because in difficulty and on difficult days, God gives you peace and God gives you grace, not to take those difficult days away. Everybody, Christians and non-Christians alike, have difficult days. But as a Christian in Christ, I get grace and peace that they don't understand. We can have peace when that doesn't even make sense that our circumstance would describe that. Just turn over the page or two to chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 7, Philippians 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So here again we have that peace described. A peace that doesn't make sense. It passes all understanding. And again, like in chapter 1, here in chapter 4, it's linked directly to Jesus Christ. We can have a passion for Jesus Christ because even on difficult days and in difficulty, I can have peace as a Christian. Why? Not because of me, because of Christ. And as you can too, if you're a child of God. Peace and grace is available to you. This peace passes all understanding. And where does it come from? Jesus Christ. Doesn't come from me. Doesn't come from you. We're going through our day and something goes wrong or terribly wrong. We can have peace. Others around us are in a panic, but as a Christian, we can have peace. Doesn't change the difficulty, doesn't take away the problem. But we can have peace in that situation. And at that same time that peace is ruling in our heart and mind, God through Christ can give us grace. How does that? I'm already feeling not flustered about it. I'm feeling peaceful about it. So what else do I want? Well, I want grace to get through that difficulty. Peace to confront it, and grace to deal with what comes from that situation. We can gain serenity in Christ. We'll jump down to verse 8 then. The fourth thing we gain in Christ is sympathy. Verse 8, we're jumping down now. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now the bowels or the intestines were thought in the day to be the seat of our emotions. We would describe it from our heart, that the place that our emotions come from. Does our emotions come from our heart? No, blood comes from our heart. Oxygen gets pumped, added into that blood supply. It doesn't make sense in a literal sense to say our emotions come from our heart, and yet we all understand our emotions come from our heart. Back in the day, they said bowels. That also doesn't make sense, and don't think too much about that either. But it's more the intestines than the actual bowels. But the seat of our emotions, and it's referred to our inner affection and our tender care. In Christ, we gain the ability to have compassion and to feel care for others. Specifically for other believers. Because naturally we want to look after number one. We want to look after ourselves. Naturally, we want to look after we've looked after ourselves, those that are near and dear to us, but not those that are near and dear necessarily to others. That's in a fleshly, worldly sense, that's how that's understandable to just the average man. They understand that you don't feel anything towards their loved ones because they're not your loved ones. But in Christ, we can have compassion towards others. We gain the ability to have compassion and to feel care towards them. And when we don't feel that, if we are a child of God and we don't feel that, there's a serious problem. That is a problem, because in Christ here, it says that we should be longing after in the bowels of Jesus Christ, in the compassion of Jesus Christ, with the empathy that is ours in Jesus Christ towards others. So either when we don't feel that towards other believers, either, again, we're not in Christ in the sense that we are unsaved, we haven't been forgiven for our sins, we haven't placed our faith in Christ for salvation, or we're not in Christ in the sense of, yes, we are a Christian, but we're not in Christ in the sense of we're resting in Him. Where our life and our purpose and our direction is all about Him. We're not literally in Him in that sense. So if there's no passion for Christ, perhaps it's because we're following self. In the same sense, in the physical world, I suppose, if we were trying to follow cricket with more understanding and trying to get excited about cricket, but then we thought by finding out more about the Sydney Roosters, that would help us in our understanding of cricket. No, it wouldn't make sense. They're different sports. In the same way, when we are just thinking about ourselves and our direction and what we want, of course we're not going to feel that same way about Christ, because we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about something that is opposed to perhaps where God is going, what God is trying to do in us. We gain serenity, the grace and peace that we can have in Christ. We gain sympathy, the compassion that can be ours in Christ. And we gain the Spirit in verse 19. Now, there are other references that are linked to other things that perhaps we'll look at another time. I've skipped a couple of things, for example, that are linked to Christ that are Christ's, like the day of Christ. And the results of following Christ, I've skipped some of those. Pastor touched on the fruits that are ours in Jesus Christ this morning. So for time's sake, we need not cover that again, except to say that the consequence that fruit is ours in Jesus Christ, the principle of you reap what you sow, the fact that in Christ we have fruit. Well, if we sow spiritually, that's fine, we gain spiritually. But if we don't sow spiritually, we will still reap what we sow. And we sow fleshliness and worldliness in our lives, that's what we reap. We don't reap spirituality from sowing fleshliness. And so that is a concern, of course. But the third thing we gain, and the fifth point, is that we gain the Spirit. Verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." God gives us the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And in verse 19 here, Paul says, "I know that I'm going to be released from this prison cell one way or the other. Either the sentence will come that I'm to be killed in one way or another, and when I'm killed, I'll be released from this physical body, but I'll gain heaven. Otherwise, I'll be released from this prison as a free man. Either way, I'm going to be released, either to walk amongst you or to join my Savior in heaven," Paul says. "And I know that my release is going to come one way or another." And then in verse 19, he says, "And it's a comfort to me to know that you're praying for me about this. And you're praying for my release one way or another." But, and at the same time, he says, "It's also a comfort to me that I have the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Your prayers for me and the Holy Spirit within me are comforting me at this time of not knowing what the outcome ultimately will be in a literal sense." Keep your place here and go over to John chapter 14 just for a moment. John chapter 14. See, it refers here to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, of course. John chapter 14, John 14, look in verse 16. Christ said in verse 16, John 14, 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." This is just before his arrest. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now this is before the coming of the Holy Spirit, because Christ is still with them. But later on they got the Holy Spirit, and that's when he not just shall be in you, but was in them. And when we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Then drop down to verse 26, still referring about the Comforter, see at the start of 26, flowing then into verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As in Paul's case when he's in prison cell, not knowing whether he's going to be killed for or released. How can you have peace in that situation? Well, we saw that you can have peace and grace in Christ. But now, in addition to that, this is in reference to the Holy Spirit dwelling within and giving peace and comfort and allowing you to bear what is happening in your life. But verse 16, Christ says, I give you another comforter, another in addition to me, to replace my physical presence amongst you disciples. Instead of my physical presence with you, you'll have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And I give him unto you to abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, one that the world cannot receive. In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. In Christ, as Paul refers to it, the supply of the Spirit. We gain the Spirit through Christ. That we are never alone. That we are never without hope. Because we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us, who is called by Christ the Comforter. Capital C, Comforter. And is not a force. He's even referred to, and he shall. You're never alone, Christian. Never alone. In Christ, you have the capital C person, the Holy Spirit. We gain serenity, we gain sympathy, we gain the Spirit. Why is it that when there's all sorts of things going crazy on the first day of camp and people running everywhere and things not where we thought they were and so forth, not because we're disorganized, because just it's going on, everything was planned. And yet, we can say, this is great, because the devil's poking people because the Holy Spirit is prodding people. That thought came to my mind. Why? Because we have peace that passes all understanding. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. In Christ, it doesn't make sense when things are going wrong and we are calm about it. Does that mean we're always calm about everything when things are going wrong? No. But we should be. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. We gain him in Christ. You see, we need to know our Lord more to understand more how to be passionate about him. When we pick up a new hobby, we can't be passionate about it because we don't fully know all about it. But as we learn about it, as we learn about a topic or whatever, as understanding comes, yeah, we can become more and more interested and passionate about that topic. And in the same way, as we read our Bibles, let me challenge you, look for what is there about Christ that is mine in Christ. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. We gain these things, and we are these things in Christ. And this is just one chapter. We are servants. And because we are servants, we have to extend ourselves. We are saints. But because we're saints, we should strive to let God work in us more, that we would be more like our Savior. We gain serenity, peace, and grace to go through difficulties. We gain sympathy, that compassion towards others, and extending ourselves to meet their needs and to minister to them. And we gain the Holy Spirit of Christ. All of these in Christ. We can be passionate about Jesus Christ. He has done so much for us. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what he's done for us. We can be passionate about Christ. When we think about what he's done for us, surely we can extend ourselves and be passionate more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and do for us day by day. Lord, as we seek to apply these truths in our lives, Lord, may we extend ourselves, may we be compassionate, may we seek to exercise the peace and the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. May we seek to minister to others. May we seek to walk in the Spirit's control. They're ours in Christ, and Lord, we thank you for your generosity to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.